morning. Brother Jerry stepped out here, and so I would gladly like to share the Word of God says with us this morning. I'm with you all. I was really blessed. I just can't stand saying things or say things, but I felt and sensed. I think the Spirit of God is bearing witness with us. I was blessed while singing, and those that have the Spirit of God, I just want to testify that it's not a dead. We don't have to be overstimulated, jump in and flop around so we can be solemn. The grace of God can move with great victory in the heart while we sing. I would be all not very blessed in that way. I feel very privileged to have and the holiness of God in the heart. We can feel, taste that the Lord is good. Praise the Lord.
And this morning, of course, we were singing what a day that would be, and what a day. And that song, Nearer to the Cross, bring it seems before me. And I'm glad the Lord gave us something to look at. Could have just said, I am Lord, close the book. But he gave us all the Word of God, all the pictures, all the good things to read. I can look and find what heaven's like. I can see all the beauty and the glory of God. I can see how people worship God. I can bear witness with the people of God throughout eternity in the past. I can see what they did in the likeness of faith and how it goes from faith to faith. And that's a blessing. All these words, all these songs, all this here, I'm just overwhelmed sometimes. You take great over with all your emotions, and you come a little bit drained. I think we empty out so much internally. We could almost take a nap. You get so emotionally attached to this stuff. I think it should be like that, but you could almost sit down and take a nap. I'll be honest with you. I think we get into this, and it's just a blessing. And you wonder if you're going to come out, but thankfully, because of our frailty, I think we get tired. But praise the Lord, we got just a short bit yet to go to praise the Lord. And but in this thought, I had mentioned this before at here with us, and I'd like to mention it again, and maybe in a greater way. What a day that'll be! And today in Revelation chapter 20, what a day that'll be when you don't make it. When you don't make it. What a day that will be when all was well here. Nothing will be well there. What a day that'll be. You know what? You'll never see heaven if you're outside of Christ. The Bible teaches the great white throne judgment isn't even in heaven. That heaven and earth had it. They were scattered away. And imagine all the population from the days past till now joining out probably in a great expanse out in outer space somewhere where it'll be judged. Great white throne judgment. It's good doctrine. Good sound teaching. If you leave this out, you leave out the holiness and justice of God. We're going to talk about the goodness and the justice of God this morning. And I'd like to share maybe a couple of thoughts I was thinking yet this morning. God has been so good to me. And it was by the goodness of God that began to lead me to repentance. And I can say it was the forbearance and the long-suffering of God, looking back, that led me to repentance. You know that the goodness of God, the forbearance, the putting up with it, the long-suffering, was God's way to give a space of time to look in the turn. But man often looks and say, I got time. I don't have to turn. I don't have to now. And that's often in the heart of sinful man, isn't it? I remember a time, one in particular I'll share. I was up in Michigan, and I remember when God's goodness had shown me, and I knew, and I put the two together as a lost man. I put these two together. This happened before my eyes. Revelation. I was in a car, a little car, and I was with some friends. couple friends. Up ahead, another car, a big car. Friends in there. In the middle of the night, driving home. Doing what we shouldn't be doing. Something in my heart says, get out of that car at the stoplight. Get out of that car and go up to the car that was just in front of us. They're home. Rob, let me out. What's wrong with you, man? Let me out. And I went out and got up in front of the bigger car, which was a big Lincoln, and the car I was in was a little Chevette. And I might have shared this with y'all before, but it's kind of a something that's permanently in my mind of the goodness of God. And it wasn't just a couple miles down the road, that little car comes smashing into the back. And that little Chevette became nothing. And where I was would have been nothing. And where I was there wasn't no space for me to be there. The car was smashed and the people behind me were through the window where I would have been in front of them. So within maybe 3 miles of time, God in his goodness had spared my life once again, but this time I knew it and I knew it without a shadow of a doubt. And I praise the Lord for that. But I would fair to say that a lot of y'all have a lot of those same similar stories. How God had spared you. God's goodness and gave me time. Long suffering. But you know, did I turn to the Lord then? No, I didn't. I didn't turn to the Lord. So I this morning like to share a little bit on Revelation chapter 20. You know, I was looking back and thinking when I was thinking, well, this here in this passage, a lot of people, we hear this thing and we're going to hear it again. Something struck me that kind of stricken my heart even more further to the depravity of who I was. I go, David, did I ever send people to hell myself? Like, I know that they chose. But I remember back in my life, and I was thinking the words and the directions of our thoughts. I remember going to church as a young boy. I wonder if I discouraged people from coming to Christ. And it makes me wonder about a lot of these things. Imagine that you would have an influence. Now, as a Christian, a lot of people say, well, praise the Lord, that person had an influence on my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. They shared Christ. They were a good, shining, bright, and shining light. That person, they wanted me to abandon the faith. They brought about temptation, made me question God. You know what? Their professed liberties made me go a little bit further into sin than I ever thought I would. You know, we should be really careful and walk in fear of the Lord in this direction. Something I was thinking about. The last final judgment of man. Let's read it. Chapter 20, starting in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, we thank you that we can look at your word and know the end of the end. That you will be just, you will be sovereign, you will be right, perfect in the lives and the hearts of all men. Lord, we know this judgment here of unconverted sinners, those who have not come by faith in Christ Jesus, will stand before you and be judged. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Lord, open our ears. Lord, one more time, give us all someone that's outside of Christ. They might be the rest. Jesus' name. Father, we do thank the Lord for this year book. And I was thinking about, imagine this, the whole scene here. We'll just start in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. And I'm thankful here. It looks like John, he said, I saw a great white throne. You know, a lot of people, there was, I think, a gentleman that made mention that, you know what a lot of people do? They bet everything they have in life on one thought, and that there is no judgment after this life. Think about it. People, if they were betting people, and people make choices to bet, but all the great heart says this, if they could just, the thought of it is the bet that there's no judgment after this life. That's where man is trying to rid us. See, you can hear say, I know God's law. I have felt the pressure of God's law. You can know you're rebellious of God's law and avoid and be rebellious against Him, and you're escaping what God's telling you to do. But there's one thing you cannot escape, and that is the judgment of God. So you have to think very intently to get rid of this thought. Now, God, you can give you all the thou shall not. He can prick your heart. He can open your heart. But then you say, I can rebel. And look at the space of time I got. This is all good. And I can just, look at that. I'm still continuing on. There's one thing on that final day. There's one thing you'll never escape. There's one thing you'll never rebel against. You'll say, no, it cannot happen. That day will come. It'll be the judgment of God. The judgment of God will arise. And God will say, I'm just and holy. It's my turn. It's my seat. This is my life. You are my creation. I told you what to do and you did it not. I gave you a way to escape, you chose not. You say, oh, the goodness of God, no more. All gone bye-bye. The mercies of God are shut down. All the goodness of God is closed. And the only thing left is you and your great heart to stand before the great white throne and say, I'm willing now to measure up. But you won't measure up here. Down here, you'll say, give me another day. I'm going to get this figured out with my pomp, my pride, with my ideas and opinion. I can escape these things. I'm rationalizing through why I really aren't coming to Christ. But on that day, you're going to perfectly know all the persuasion of the Spirit of God, all the striving with you now, and all that the God, and by the Spirit of God, has He opens to you the Word of God, and you have looked to it and said, not so, not now, not this day, another day. But this day you won't escape. And this day, God will sit true and just, and there will be nothing else to say. Imagine you sitting or standing all with all eternity. Here you are before this holy God. And see, John said, and I saw. And that's the problem a lot of times. I believe as a believer it said that he prayed that he would hear the hallelujahs of God with one ear and he would hear the shrieks of hell in the other. I'm here to tell you that people don't live in the idea that there'll be a judgment. People don't live with the idea that there's even a heaven. And in the heaven that they have, they don't want to go if God was there. I talked to a man this week. He was very sure and confident that heaven was his home. And I said, my friend, why would you want to be there? Tell me all that you're saying about this heaven. And he says, well, that's where I'm going because God's there and he loves me. I said, you ain't going to do one thing that you're doing today in heaven. And you begin to really recognize, and I challenge you even right now, truthfully, why would you want to go to heaven? Think about it. If you are lost, if you love sin, if you don't love the Lord, if you're questioning Christ and His coming, death, burial, resurrection, if you're all in turmoil, your whole life is in opposition to this thing, just ask yourself in sincerity. Heaven obviously sounds good because you're escaping a judgment. But really, tell your heart, would you enjoy heaven? No sin. Would you enjoy it? You fantasize of that thought. Oh, this body of corruption, it'd be put off. And you would be more like Him. You would be perfect and be like Him. See Him as He is. We'd be like Him. Is that what a beautiful thought that would be. And that's the Christian heart. Lord, deliver me. Get me out of this mess, this body of corruption. You want to be free. But think about it. Your heart stutters and pulls back. Like, imagine that. And you say, well, I'll be making news. None of that will matter. But the heart needs to be changed now to have heaven's heart. Meaning that, what would that look like to you if you would never sin in heaven? Would it be really boring to you? I think in a sinner it would be if you're really honest with yourself. But here he said, I saw a great white throne. And this white throne, great white throne. We know that there's a Brother Eli mentioned, there's a throne of grace today. There's that throne you can come to in the hour of need. You can come now. This is one throne that where the unconverted is. And might I say, this is where lost men, this is the end of days. This is after all the fulfillment of all the tribulation, of all the millennial reign of Christ. After all that, and the devil rises up, and the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and he's tormented forever and ever. And God summons up all of men, all death and hell, all from the sea, all from the beginning of day, all that have rejected Christ will be summoned up. And here we go, to stand before this great white throne. I wish, I admit, in the great frailties, I looked at this. It's like once I looked at it, I had great thrust to tell you. But I can honestly say I can't get this. I can't get it out. I can't get it across that we don't understand the judgment of God. You don't understand that if you're lost, you don't understand the predicament you're in. You don't understand the heart and its deceitfulness. That why in the world would you hear these words? Why can't we get this out to one another and out to a lost and dying world that God is just and will, and He will this day, at this hour, this moment, a great white throne. And this throne, it's great, yes. It's magnificent. It's huge. It's a place of white. We read the robes of white. I think Brother Chris read that. Over there, when not even an angel, robe of white. I thought I'd wear white today because white's a good thing. A robe of white, it represents purity, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has said He has a robe of white. Down, all the way down. And fully, it means fully clothed. Fully, from head to toe. And my friends, brothers and sisters, that's what you're going to be wearing if you're in Christ. That's the representation of the righteousness of Christ. And that's what we're dealing with here. This throne of great purity. The Bible, let's read here. I'll read it. You can just hang put. And it says here, gives you an idea of this face of God. And if you, and here, I'll pick up on a word so we can follow along. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face, on this throne is no other person except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that all judgment from the Father was committed, that Jesus Christ will be doing the judging. Now, God is a spirit, and they worship God, must worship in spirit and truth. Now, we know in the Godhead that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Visibly, you'll see the person of God through the face of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that came and was in the incarnation, came and walked this earth in flesh, that He left His glory. He veiled His glory and came down like us, and He lived victoriously and conquered death, but He also lived victorious and never sinned. So therefore, God is a representation of the Godhead. He will stand as the second person in that Godhead, and He will. He came lowly. He humbled Himself for the sake of death, but the Bible says He'll be unveiled. And His unveiling, all His glory and shining and effort and everything who He is as judge will stand, and that's the why the person of Christ will judge you. You will visibly see the person of God. You will visibly see Him. You won't see this aura. You won't see this thing. You'll see Christ straight at you, the one you rejected. God has given to Him judgment and everything that you will stand. And that is why you'll see a visible Christ. That's why Christ will be on the throne. That's why He will be doing the judging. That was very clear in the Bible. Let's see if I can find it. I think that was John 5. If I'm not mistaken, I just want to barrel through that real quick. Because I am not going to leave that one off. And in Acts 17, I know it's in there. Five twenty-two of John, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, wouldn't it make sense? Jesus Christ had no place to lay his head, right? He had no place. He came, lived among men, had no place to lay his head. He lived perfectly. He was meek, yes. In all ways, he was perfect. Did everything right, obeyed the Father, did everything. Think about it. And he left his glory, at least was veiled in that area, and so he came and walked among men. Here he died and rose again. Now as he sits to judge, what a perfect judge that is. I've been there, done that, was tempted in all points, but yet without sin. So I'm just and holy, and I'm exact. I have, not only can you say, you don't understand, Lord, here's Christ on this great throne, great white of purity and perfection and holiness, and he says, I was tempted in all points, like you were, and yet without sin. I have purchased your sin. I had died for you. I can judge. I'm committed, and I am perfect and holy and safe. This is getting too heavy. This is too much holiness. Now you're starting to get it, aren't you? This is too much of God. Now you're starting to get it. Now you're starting to understand the gospel. God is too big. He's too big for us to contain. He's too big for us to comprehend. And that means when you comprehend what little sin you have, imagine the mountain of sin you really have. If you think, I just need Christ to get better, you need Christ just to get completely better. You need to get rid of self. The Bible mentions death because Christ is so holy that a person in the heart can't just be, say, oh, maybe Christ and be good and try to do good. But when you see what little you are and all of who Christ is, you'll say, the only thing left for me to do is die. That's the only thing God gives you. That's God's remedy. Come and die because all you can see is me, and you'll say, surely, that's the Lamb of God. That's the Spirit of God wooing you. And must I say, this book opens to you now, another day, the Spirit of God will bear witness to you of the book as it becomes opened and closed on your life. Imagine the opportunity time and time again. Repentance and faith. You'll stand there before a holy God with all these great words and go, repentance. Wow, all of a sudden you understand it then. If you ever do that, mom and dad says, let's take out the trash. Well, you know, well, you become all this reasoning and excuses and procrastination. But you ever know when it's time and it's right then and there, when it's right there, when someone's at the door and you have to take action, when you're here on this judgment seat and there's no hope, you'll say, I understand repentance and faith. It's not there. It's not granted to you. It's meaningless. You're condemned. You're at the wrong court. You're at the cross. Your judgment would have been dealt with. I've already done been to the judgment. I've been to the disgrace. I've done been condemned. I admitted hell was in my heart. I admitted that I deserved hell. I went to the cross. I escaped. But how shall you escape if you don't come down? How are you exempt? I just think of that so often in the mind and the hearts of people. The most horrific thought that all the religious people in life hearing all these precious words and standing on the great white throne judgment with no application. Deadness. Faith, yes. Oh, yeah, of course faith in Christ. Know that day you'll say, oh, faith in Christ. You'll say, oh, I repent. You know what it means. Come on. You know in your heart. You're playing games with God. God does not convince a sinner that he needs Christ in a light way. Listen, you know, according to our Bible, that the Bible is very clear that it's the heat of God. He puts the Scriptures, the Spirit of God puts a great burden on it. And it's not like this little, what if I'm a sinner, or what ifs. And God wants you to get out of this mess. He don't want you to be here. Come on. I mean, but man will choose here. They will wait. They'll say, I'm not ready. I can't. I just wish. I just can't get it across this face of God. The Bible mentions us as Christians, his countenance. It's the health of our countenance, doesn't it? But imagine his faith. Man, if we picture Jesus, we can tell the children. You know, in the presence of God, you don't see him like you do in them children's books, do you? I surely don't. I look over in Revelation, and I'll read to you, this is the face that you'll see. This is the face, this is what you're dealing with when you're looking at his head, and his hair is white His hair is white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. Now, just think about it. Here you got this beautiful blue-eyed Jesus, long black hair, how they do it. Away with that. Away with it. That's not our Jesus. We got to get into the Word of God. And this is Christ now. This is the Christ you will see. You will not see any kind of, there'll be a solemnity. He'll look to you and not with one shade, no drop of his head, just flames of fire, eyes cutting right through you. All humanity all at once. Imagine a conviction that you're able to, the power of God, to all at once convict all humanity, all at one given second in the conscience right at that time. We're all men. We're all Christ. They say, I won't bow then to that man there. But there in heaven, God said he highly exalted him, give him that name, that every knee shall bow. And everyone just have all of a sudden a willing, but it's too late. Too late. They'll bow, but to no avail. They'll bow because he is judge and just. And that's exactly what it is. And so looky here. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes, that's the facials. This is the face who stood on the throne, that sat on the throne. His eyes. Looking into those eyes, the fire, the piercing, the burning, the very all-knowing eye of God, knowing everything about you. And, that's horrific. To imagine some to be lost and stand in this place and stand, and I will say in such a way that the Bible is very clear in this, that the heart is so wicked, so deceitful, desperately wicked, that I'm here to tell you that on Judgment Day, you'll sin. You have no power to save yourself. You have nothing. Listen, imagine this. God knowing all of who you are, you'll probably stand there and shake because of one conscience of your mind. You'll say, I know he knows what I'm thinking. You're going to have fear, yes. You're going to have a lot of things going on. But why in the world am I here before the holy righteous of God condemned? And you'll probably still be. You can't stop. Here, so this is the face of Christ. And his feet, like in the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And I like this. And his voice is the sound of many waters. Oh, God, don't say this. It's okay. Don't say anything like that. Don't speak. The judge is going to declare the sentence on your life. The sound of many waters. The voice of God. It's not this what you're thinking. When you, even in this, still small voice, when it comes, and yet it is in that direction to you, when it comes, it's so, it might even be small to you in your life then. Now, doesn't it feel and sound after the effects of that thing sound like the voice of many waters? I mean, it starts off small. It's like, Lord, did you say that in your heart? And all of a sudden, away with everything he said, just plunges your heart and deals with you. Hear the voice, the sound of many waters. He won't look. He won't say, like, well, we'll see if we can work something out. Here we're dealing with the voice of God. The voice of God. The Bible says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun shining in his countenance. The look of Christ. I wish I could get across better. I know Lord, help us. His countenance, that the sun that shineth in its strength, you realize what you'll be standing before. If you are lost today, I plead with you. I'm telling you, once again, by the goodness and the grace of God, that here it says that you'll stand before, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. This is a holy, righteous, pure God. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was a high priest, that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is who will stand before. This is who will stand. So the faith. face of God, and the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Even the glory of God, when He comes on that judgment day, I believe heaven, I believe earth will not be there. There will not. This will not take place in heaven. No undefiled thing can be take place in heaven, right? No sin in heaven. You're not going to get into heaven. If you're lost today, you're going to be out alone in the black darkness. And God's going to be there, but His light's going to be so shining, and that's all you'll see. All the glory of Christ sitting on that throne. Heaven and earth fled away. There was found no place for them. I think there's going to be a lot of people. The Bible mentions the broad road. Broad road to lead them. Here's another reason why. I don't even think the design, if you look at the measurements of heaven, it all is meant to exist. Study that one out. In the all-knowing God. So I'm here to say that so fast, this place of judgment from all life is getting in won't take place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And I stood in lines, I was trying to think, standing before God. I mean, come on, I mean, I was just picturing if I was lost and I'm standing before God. See, it's hard to get it across, isn't it? That word again, there's that word God, you heard it a thousand times, a million times. You're standing before this. His name is Jesus Christ, and you've heard that of Him. And see, all the awakenings that God has given, all the precious times when God and Christ, faith, repentance, all these precious words were so precious to you. Isn't it amazing that we are so such a people that we can grow power? Yeah. We can't see it, can we? We can't quite see it. Here the Bible's given us, oh, that God would open the heart to see it. Because these books will soon be closed. We're going to look at this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You might have stood in line before at somewhere and be like, oh, I'm kind of nervous about to do this or that. Some of you stood in line for many things. Some of you maybe even wait on the phone. You know, you're waiting, standing. You can't get it across. I mean, maybe you're standing to go to a concert. Does that make sense? Loud noise. Good time, right? A lot of people. You picture standing, the voice of many waters, no one else. God's in control, the holiness of God. Shining like the sun, and it's His day. Your chances are over. The books will be open. No more influence of the Spirit of God. You're just left wicked. Judgment will be pronounced. You'll be taken where the devil is, cast into a lake of fire. That's the end of man. That's life. That's the judgment of God. It's real. Standing before God. Standing before God. A lot of things we stand. There's a little boy standing at a water fountain. I don't know why it's so bad. Everything we've done, He's supposed to do. That's horrific. Brother, I'm telling you now, that's so horrific. We don't understand. Everything you forgot will be brought to remembrance. Every move and action. Oh, thank God if you're in Christ today. You better have to get out the songbook once again. Better get on your knees another day, another time. This here is the last of everything. This is it. It's over. Again, the last judgment of man. All religion. You'll be called by His grace no more. You'll see Him who calls you. So. You'll know what grace was at one time, and it sure felt
empty, that call will never be again. Over. Over. Never again. You'll never hear, thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and heart, that whosoever shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. The Lord is that close, is nigh thee, and you're so close, he's cut asunder into your soul and spirit. He's taken your affections and heart of all of who you are, exposed you, and that influence is great by the power of God. You'll never feel that again. Done. You'll stand here on judgment day. Word, thought, and deed. Now it's your time to shine. You think you're going to shine. Word, thought, and deed of all the books of God. Books were open. All the book of remembrance, the book of all you've done, whether it be good or bad, written in a book. Every thought, every word, every action. Oh, thank God I'm in Christ. Thank God that I escaped this judgment day. Thank God for the blood of Christ. What in the world are you going to do? I just wish I had personally more life right now. I wish I could just get this thing. If you look at this and picture this thing, these books were open. This book, these remembrances, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. I want you now here's your work. I think you're already, if you're lost here today, if you know someone that's lost, if you know someone that's already going to be there, please, gird up your loins. Start telling. You can hear in one heaven, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But in the other ear, hear the that are dying. Why wouldn't you tell them? Why wouldn't you tell them when you can tell them? I have people in my family now that's in hell. Thank God, by the grace of God, it can't permeate me to the utter core. I wouldn't be able to get out here and out my front door today. I thought about it. I have weakness of heart many times because of it. But by the grace of God, he overshadows and allows us to continue. But I'm here to tell you, some of you, friends, family, aunts, uncles, they're going to hell. It's a broad way. This day they'll stand. They're dead. You say they're dead. Oh, the Bible says they'll be summoned up. They're in hell today. That's what it'll be like. The sins you love now. Sins you might love now and say, I'll take my chance. I'll go another week. Those sins now, well, you'll hate that sin, the most sin you could ever hate. You'll stand on judgment day and you'll say, why? Why that sin? I held on to that, and you see all the glories of God. You see his wrath just illuminating, coming down there. Fixed, never moving. You'll hate it then. You have opportunity to hate it now. You can just say, Lord, give me hate. Lord, I love my sin. What am I going to do? Better start dealing business with God. You need to start getting the presence of God on your life. Get this judgment off my back. To get right with God through his son. And that's what it'll be like. Books were opened. The word of God. I think that's just one of them. Books. All you've done. Word, thought, and deed. Every act. Every thought you've done. Lost. Imagine that in Christ. So all that could be done away. All that could be cleared. Cleared out. Clean slate. Cleared, removed, vast far east to the west. All those things. What a beautiful thing. I remember as a young boy, of course I didn't have a dad, but my mom always said this, David, you do this, my final word. That's it. Don't ask again. This is this day. This is God's word. Final. No more other words. Nope. We're not bargaining. No more seeking. Seek ye the Lord with all your heart. I know. The Lord says, my word is final. Depart from me. There'll be those that have done really well in this life. Never submitted to Christ.
some in this life have escaped the judgment of man. They won't escape the judgment of God. It's just good enough to get by. We didn't see it. We don't know it. The judgment of God is greatest. Those eyes flame with fire. They know all about you. Lord, be upon your breath. Say, Lord, be merciful. Last words, that's what it is. You must be saved. And I will say, and I just once again, not just 5% saved, 100% saved. I mean 100% saved. A word that you must know, own, and possess. You must know you're saved. Come on. If you dealt with God in a certain way just to get along, keep things afloat, keep the family happy, keep the church happy, keep folks happy, keep people off my back so I can go on and live my life, you'll stand on judgment day. That'll be just going through your mind. What a fraud I was. Here. You got to be 100%. God don't play games. He don't play salvation games. He don't say, you must be born again, and then doesn't tell you and just give you like a what if all the way rest of your life. It's like he's playing games with you. That's no sense. God don't make great demands and leave you such in great wonder. God makes great demands because he impresses upon you a great victory. Christ is resurrected from the grave, and you say, I believe that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. Brother Eli mentioned, are you a new creation? Now, the God, is he playing games? He's not. It's not like you're sitting there and you're like, it's like I did come. I just got all this. I mean, and then you're like, well, deal with that next time. Or next week. And then a year comes, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You're just all out of sight, all out of mind. Like, what's happening? I'm saying, get this thing. Get it done. Get it right. You'll stand. You'll be helpless. You'll be undone. You'll be exposed. Your guilt. You'll be not saved. If it's so, the judgment is so great, but then God would say, come to me and believe, but yet wouldn't let you know about it. Like you're lost and confused. And he's like, that's just part of it. Just part of the faith. Just part of walking around like, well, hoping I'm going to make it, hoping there's a witness, hoping there's some evidence, some something. Faith got to reach the shore. True faith reaches the shore. God. So, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and hell, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Very particular, huh? All these people summoned up. Death and hell. You know, Corinthians mentioned that death was finally done away with, destroyed. The death has taken down many, and then the dead that died lost. Some in the sea mentioned how God's going to bring everyone back. Your bodies will come out of hell and come back into your body that was on this life. And you'll appear before God, the dead one. I thought this through, and many times over, I think the great white throne of God, period, more fearful, more dreadful, because it's the end of end, and you know hell is too, but you know I still think there's more into it. There's more, because justice is served, you'll know it in hell, but it'll keep me in hell. I can't stand before God. I think you'd rather want to be in hell than face this year. Because it's even going to get worse. You hear the final words of God. And they were judged, every man according to their word. Your word. That's the difference. That's the doctrine there. Your word. We know the Bible teaches about words. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now watch. If it's not by your works, if it's his mercy, and if his mercy saved you, then what does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that look like long term? What does the mercies of God do? And he says, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's an influence there. See that? I'm saved by the mercy and grace of God. But he also said, but it's by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Sounds like some things are going on inside of you, right? Sounds like an imparting from the grace of God. That's what it is. For by grace are you saved. We know that. We say we know that. But it's very clear. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But yet you will sit here and say, I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to try it. I'm going to gamble with this thing. I think I'm running pretty good. You're going to stand with your work. Now, I want you to consider the works of Christ. That's all it is. If you want to get condemned, if you want to know how God sees you and you're lost today, just consider Christ. It's not hard. Don't measure what you're doing. Just measure what he did. Measure against Christ today, his work. Imagine him coming into this life and what he had did. Imagine every perfect word. Every word, thought, and deed was perfect without sin. You say, I haven't done that. Now you can see why he can just step in your place and say, I will bear your sin. I will take the wrath of God for you. You can see that. Consider these works. Consider the works of Christ. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Second death. Whosoever. Put your name. I can try to maybe think of some names that aren't in here. I'll find some names going. But let's just say, we'll just use words that aren't real. But let's just say, and Penguin was not found written in the book of Romans. That's all it is. I'm not there. But if you are there, you would have been saved. This judgment is false. This judgment is for the law. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's whosoever. Now you know whosoever should call upon the Lord now shall be saved. But you know that whosoever wasn't written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. No matter who it is, you're going to fall short. You're not only falling short, you're so short that you've fallen short from the glory of God in such a way that on that day, you'll know clean and clear that you are dreadfully lost, undone, and sinned against the Holy God. The good person, you mastered a way to look like a Christian, but you know it's not true. To the procrastinator, you've waited, you keep putting it off, you'll probably maybe put it off all the way to the end. God's goodness, it's so good to you. I think you took his goodness and you've taken it incorrectly. It was supposed to lead you to repentance. He was putting up with you, forbearing you. He was long-suffering. You're like, see, God isn't doing nothing. He's not cursing me in any way. Actually, I feel joyful. I mean, work's progressing. I'm progressing. People, I got friends. I've gone places. I'm actually starting, the goodness of God, I'm actually starting to question God. This is even real. God's sitting there like, wow, but let me just read this to you. We'll end here. Where we started. Romans chapter 2, we know this. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God is good. His delay, his long suffering, forbearing you. In your heart, it says, time is on my part. God isn't moving in. He's not dealing with you. I'm questioning the reason. God starts to move. Your heart starts to harden. You're getting snuffed out. This is just called snuffed out. You're beginning to quench the Spirit of God. You're beginning to have a heart that's not, it's impenitent, it won't turn. When a penitent heart, repentant heart is just as easy God moves upon all you do. It's the beautiful thing. You think it's got to be this monumental time. I need 20 hours in just before God. I need to all this stuff. That's the procrastinator. You don't understand. I want to get so right with God. I need so much time. I need to get a week's vacation so I can get alone with God and get this thing settled up. You'll never get saved. It's when God calls you to His Son. It's when God pricks the heart. You'll say, it's now, not now, Lord. See, you won't. You come the weirdest time you can be anywhere and everywhere. I don't know why I just thought Dennis Hook. He was out there chewing his horse or something. He said the Lord just pricked his heart. His concern was dealing with the horse. He said, no. He just walked in the barn going right then and there. He didn't even, he didn't hook up the horse. To him, it was a miracle to come back. The horse is still there. To him, that was signs and wonders. He's praising the Lord. He dealt with them then. Man won't deal with God when he wants to. Isn't that the strangest thing? Creator of the world. But God, when I tell you that I'm going to come, make sure you're there on time. What a horrific thought is that? God, I'm ready. I'm ready now. I got to work a week off work. I want to get alone with God and deal business. God's like, no, I want to deal business when you're on the road. When I'm telling you to pull over. When you feel the heat of God, the wrath of God. You won't come. You don't want to come God. So you'll come this day with or without. God will reign and rule. But in the end, but after thy hardness and penitent heart treasureth up. Oh, you want to be rich? God said, I'm rich towards you. You decided to just treasure up your own stuff. You know what you treasured up? You took all your sin, and all it is just heat for the fire. You treasured it up, and it says you treasured up unto thyself wrath. All you've done is resist God, and all you have is your end of your life is just a collection of a big heaping thing of wood of God's wrath. You invested in your own destruction. You've invested. That's long-term investment. There is your good retirement plan. That's what it is. It says it. Treasures up unto thyself. You're investing in yourself, wrath. You're saying, and I'm not depraved? Come on. If a person would do that, you say, I'm treasuring up to destroy myself. You know something's wrong. And then it just says, against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You're going to see it. It's going to be unveiled. The righteousness of God will come so crystal clear on that judgment day. Revelation, you'll say, woo, I see Him now. That see Him now, that revelation is over. So I think I just went through that very lightly. I had all these notes. I was, forget it. I just want to just go through the word for word and just try to get a little bit, be a help. This day is it's the last day. It's God's day. He's going to judge you through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He buried, rose again. The Spirit of God calls you. You got to answer. You got to answer quick. You got to answer on now. Today's the day of salvation. Why will you die? Why? Why will you die? And so we thank the Lord that He's given us. God. So right and perfect. Must deal with sin. He dealt with sin too. Son. Died with sin. So really, we're without excuse completely fully. I think today we're all without excuse. We all know how to come to Christ. God would awaken maybe just one, two. You'd go out and share with the one and two, and that ear you would hear people are dying and going to hell. Now, I remember, I wrote this down in here completely. In this year, I think it was 168,000 people died. 168,000 while I was preaching. 7,000 people died. While I was preaching, 114 people died every minute I was talking. Two people died every second. That's reality. That's the amount of people that are dying. That's true reality. 1 hour, 7,000 people dead. I wonder how many died, saved.